It's freaking Notre Dame week.
If I could print business cards every week for a low cost, I would, because it would say Clint Shamblin thinking nothing other than Notre Dame this week.
We are finished.
Turns out there's an 18-year-old kid that said, get off my lawn.
Well, he's an 18-year-old kid, but he's also fathered a 28-year-old grown man. So no one is I'm not playing spin the bottle with you, so don't. That got weird fast.
Again, for the listeners, Daniel and I are fully clothed all the time, and we're not playing spin the bottle. Ben didn't come knocking on door, but you know what, Ben? We came knocking on yours.
That's it's called senility, Clint. It's called being a senile old man.
Welcome to Talking Dogs. I'm Clint.
And I'm Daniel. And we're two guys who love UGA sports. One of us is from the South.
And one of us is from the West Coast.
One of us is a lifelong Georgia fan.
One is a more recent convert. But we both share a borderline obsessive, often ridiculous desire to see UGA succeed, just like you do.
This podcast is a place to talk about the dogs, the way you would at a tailgate, in your backyard, or over a drink with your friends.
Are we insiders?
Nah.
Do we have lofty recruiting connections?
Nope.
We are just two guys who love talking about the dogs. So let's talk.
Hello and welcome to episode 87 of the Talking Dogs podcast. I am Daniel.
And I'm Clint. And Daniel, is it safe to say that we have some feels going on? Is that a safe assumption to be had?
It's Sunday evening as we record this, just to let you peek behind the curtain. And I'm sitting on my couch last night and I'm trying to watch the Florida-Kentucky game. I'm trying to will Syracuse to do anything, to just remember how to football at all. Not to any avail. But is my mind dialed into these games at all, Clint? Am I focused on what's in front of me?
Not whatsoever. It is like all parents at four-year-old Little League games. We're there because we don't want our children to ever think of us not supporting them, but are we that enthralled with the play that is happening before us?
No, really what we're thinking about is how it's freaking Notre Dame week.
Clint. It's Notre Dame.
We made it. We made it to Notre Dame week, and it's time to talk about Notre Dame.
That's Clint. That's the only thing. By the way, tagline me on everything. If I could print business cards every week for a low cost, I would, because it would say Clint Shamblin thinking nothing other than Notre Dame this week. That's what my business card would say.
That's correct. Take one. Take a few. Pass them out to your friends and colleagues. Let them know that I'm not interested in their calls and emails at this point. I'm not. Unless they're here to talk to me about Notre Dame, at which point I'm still probably not interested in their calls and emails because their take is probably dumb and
their
uneducated.
Their take is dumb. This week I have a very high bar. My first question is, do you football well? To people who want to speak to me. And if they say, yeah, I kind of follow some of the sport, I go,
nope,
good day.
We're done.
Good day.
We are finished. I don't have anything to say to you anymore. Clint, it's all Notre Dame all the time inside my head, inside your head. The Arkansas State game was. Was that fair?
This is fair to say. We fired on every single piston that the V12 had, and they were all firing well. Let's move on.
I mean, we could sit here and just gush about every player on this team, right? I mean, because to a man, every player on this team came out and showed up. We won 55 to freaking nothing. Clint Lewis seen... Your friend and mine intercepted a ball in the end zone wearing number 28 for some unbeknownst reason.
Where did
that
come from?
God and everybody. I'm sitting there for half the game trying to figure out with Asher who number 28 is. Finally realized, oh, there's no name on the back of 28 because it's a jersey they just found laying around over there on the sidelines because Lewis Seen apparently had some poor Arkansas State player's blood on his jersey or something. God knows what all. But I was so relieved to know that I wasn't so out of touch that there was somebody running around in a number that I didn't even know. But sure enough, Lewis Seen intercepts the ball in the end zone. We win 55 to nothing. Jorge Pickens is the greatest human being to ever live. I'm all in, 100%. Jorge Pickens is Julio Jones' biological father.
Yes.
Okay? There's nothing, like, just we're
the historical accuracies of that. Find yourself some doctor teleportation device somewhere. Go back in time because that is factually correct. And again, let the music be played. Tyler Simmons, I thought you were going to be a beast for us reception wise. Turns out there's an 18-year-old kid that said, "Get off my lawn."
Yeah, he's just was an 18-year-old kid, but he's also fathered a 28-year-old grown man. So correct. It's not he's lived quite a life.
He has. Turns out some of us are overachievers and others us just watch.
That is correct. Jorge is, man, he's an animal. Quay Walker nearly ended a man in the first quarter of that game. That was a fun moment for me.
By the way, really quick, I just have to point out, we said, do we need to talk about anything? And we've talked for 2 minutes and 43 seconds about it.
So many things. And yet we're moving on.
We are.
Saturday came, Saturday went, Dog Nation did us proud with the pink and the stands. Going to do us proud again this weekend, I have a feeling. Because is that stadium going to be worse than bonkers, Clint? Is it going to literally raise Larry Munson from the dead and sit him into the booth and have him call the game via at Ghost on Skate style James Cook?
Yes. Yes. I have no idea how businesses in Athens are conducting themselves right now, but if you are not fretting, if you're not sweating being able to care for all the lunacy that's about to happen, go ahead and call your insurance agent because there's going to be looting in your place. Like, it's going to be one of the craziest environments we've had in a long time.
Truly is. told my wife, I'm trying to think back. I didn't go back and actually pull it up and do the research. But she said, Notre Dame this week, big game. And I said, yeah. Big game. And then I said a statement that I thought seemed ridiculous, but I said, I think it might be the biggest home game that Georgia's had in 10 years. Like,
I think I would double down and raise you a little bit with that.
I mean, let's be honest, Georgia fans. The next biggest home game that Georgia's had in the last 10 years, I think, is when Alabama came in here and beat the ever-living bejesus out of us. Other than that...
That's the competition that we have going against.
You got the Aaron Murray, Zach Mettenberger, LSU-Georgia game that was 100 to 107, I believe.
Yeah.
But this game... Top 10, top 7 matchup, College Game Day, non-conference, Notre Dame. I mean, just legendary program after what we did 2 years ago in selling out their stadium and then beating them in heartbreaking fashion
to end
the game. You listened to Notre Dame players this week, Clint? Did they have this one circled?
Was this a remembrance game for them?
Do they know about this game?
Quick question. Who's forgotten? Has Kelly forgotten? Is he not?
I don't think he's forgotten.
No.
Have you forgotten?
No.
I don't think any of us have forgotten.
Do you mean the game that follows my YouTube account everywhere and just has it favored like 50 says, times with a heart?
It says, "Hey, Clint, you want to watch this again?"
Siri wakes me up in the morning and says, "Clint, shall I start auto-playing?" And I go,
"Selected for you." That's yes, it is. Yes, it is selected for me. Clint, I can't let us get away from this weekend. I got it. Your favorite FCS program and mine made some noise this weekend. I need the people to have you give a shout out to your favorite FCS program.
I'm about to buy a shirt, Daniel, and wear this shirt on non-Saturday football. Like when we have bye weeks, mm-hmm. I'll put this shirt on. Because the Citadel,
that's right, trademarked. I believe they trademarked the word "the."
LeBron couldn't get Taco Tuesday down, and Ohio State couldn't get V, but you know who should? Because
the Citadel already had it. That's why.
The Citadel was ahead of them in line with paperwork that was matching, and they said, no, we good.
They said that we have a corps of cadets that will be happy to take it up with you if you have a grievance to file.
Yes.
Listen, every story has already been written about this game. Every joke has already been made. So listen, we're not trying to be late to the party and jump on board. But there's never been a more beautiful, sweet, ironic, poignant, touching game.
I mean,
to just sit there and watch Jeff Collins single-handedly lost the game for his team.
Yes,
he did. With the way that he managed the clock and coached the last 2 minutes of the game. But the fact remains, Clint.
Uh-huh.
The Citadel handled Georgia Tech for the entire 60 minutes of that game.
Yeah, no, you could blame a lot of people, and Georgia Tech is a mess, but the Citadel came out and did work. Don't go too far. The blame game does not need to go too far. Responsibility game? Totally responsible for the loss is the Citadel. The Citadel, thank you all. I will be giving you a $20 donation for a shirt at some point coming up.
This is the Citadel that has lost to Towson and Elon so far this year. I just need you to know that they were 0-2 going into this weekend. They lost to Towson and Elon.
And by the way, you try to do a Google search for Elon, it's coming up with the dude who created an electric car, not a university. Like,
Correct. That was not a first name. That was the name of a university.
Right.
all right, let's move on.
Okay.
Sunday was a mess. Saturday, rather, was a mess. But it's Sunday now, and it's Notre Dame week.
Yeah, it is.
Clint, how are we going to frame this conversation?
Here's a conversation.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, here's what we just need to get out of the gate. And Daniel, I feel like you and I have done some deep research. We don't need – some people have baskets of books next to toilets in rooms, you know, in bathrooms, like some reading material. You and I don't need that because we're just on our phone constantly deep diving into research and stories. And I have a feeling that you have a good little appetizer for us, Daniel.
I got a few things loaded up in the hopper. If you want to just cycle through, play a little Russian roulette, see what comes out.
That's exactly what I want to do. I want to spin that bottle and see what kind of reporting we got going on to talk about.
Spin the wheel. I'm not playing spin the bottle with you, so don't. That got weird fast.
Look, really quick, again, for the listeners, Daniel and I are fully clothed all the time, and we're not playing spin the bottle.
Well, the predicting robes sometimes do come out, but as of now, that's accurate. Let me talk. I don't know which side of the ball to start on, Clint. Which side of the ball should we start? I'm going to let you choose. Do you want to talk about Notre Dame's offense or Notre Dame's defense first?
Real quick, you're going to ask me what side of the ball we want to start on talking about Notre Dame. If we were talking about our team, you know my answer, but it's going to be the same answer. No, I want to talk about Notre Dame's defense, Daniel. I want to talk about anything that has to do with their defensive unit responsible for stopping five men who they can't stop.
Let's talk about Notre Dame's defense, okay? Here are the facts that lay before us, Clint.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, by the way, glad you didn't call it a lock, because they beat the bejesus out of New Mexico. New Mexico did not get near sniff a cover.
No,
in that
game. No, they didn't.
66-14, beat up on New Mexico. Now listen, New Mexico's played themselves two games this year. They played Notre Dame, and they've played Sam Houston State. And listen, stats don't mean everything. Stats can lie.
Yes,
but I figured let's do a little bit of just cursory glance. It's at least going to give us a starting point. Let's just look at the way New Mexico fared against Notre Dame, and then let's look at the way they fared against Sam Houston State, a team that they beat 39-31 in week one of the college football season. Now, passing, New Mexico against Sam Houston State was 18 of 40, 45% for 340 yards. That's about 8.5 yards per attempt.
Okay.
Against Notre Dame, they were 10 for 29, only 34.5% for 151 yards. That's only 5.2 yards per attempt. A significant drop-off, as you would imagine, Sam Houston State at home versus Notre Dame on the road, a significant drop-off in their numbers. One game they won, again, 39-31. One game they lost, 66-14. Nothing that we should be raising an eyebrow at to this point.
No.
But then you move ahead. You move ahead to the rushing statistics. Against Sam Houston State, New Mexico had 32 rushing attempts for 145 yards. That's 4.5 yards per attempt as a team against Notre Dame, Clint. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
They had 46 rushing attempts for 212 yards. I say again, they rushed for 212 yards against Notre Dame. That's 4.6 yards per attempt, which is a tenth of a yard more than they averaged against Sam Houston State.
Now, real quick, Daniel, I want to make sure I understand this correctly, because last year I'm fairly certain Notre Dame scheduled New Mexico twice because they are independent and they just need teams, and I think New Mexico was hard up for a couple of victories as well. You're not talking 212 yards, the number of times Notre Dame has played New Mexico in the last 3 years.
In the last decade, no. That was on Saturday alone.
Oh, one game. 212 yards against a vastly inferior opponent.
212 yards against New Mexico. Now, I said to myself, that bears a little bit of further investigation. And so I went and I found myself an article. It's by a young fellow, looks to be a strapping young lad, named Ben Belden.
Hey, Ben. Welcome to the podcast, Ben.
Ben never wanted to be on the podcast. Like, nope. Ben didn't ask for this. Ben's not Trevor Woodworth. He didn't sign up for this. Like, he didn't volunteer.
No, there was no solicitation. Ben didn't come knocking on door. But you know what, Ben? We came knocking on yours.
And yet, here's Ben. And listen, I'm not going to fault Ben. Ben is more plugged into Notre Dame football than I am. And so I'm trying to glean some information. This is an article entitled "Grading the Irish Defense Against New Mexico." Okay.
So that seems pertinent for us to read.
So, Clint, I'm just going to ask you. 212 yards. You probably didn't watch very much of the game.
I watched the first quarter in which Notre Dame was struggling. But if, let's say hypothetically, I was going to grade Notre Dame based upon statistical analysis that you've given me. If I was a coach and I was to do a little film breakdown of 212, I might have a take. What was dear old Ben's take on the grading of Notre Dame that game?
I'm just going to read a few lines that I've found to be pertinent. Many will point to the fact that the Irish defense gave up over 200 yards against New Mexico.
Good start. Well,
that's not... You forgot a word in there. They gave up over 200 yards rushing in addition to 151 yards passing. They gave up 350 total, but sure. But still, Ben says, there was more good than bad in Saturday's win. Let's go to the position groups. The defensive line, on a scale of A+ to F, Clint, if I just told you that New Mexico rushed for 212 yards against Notre Dame, what grade would you give the defensive line?
I mean, we're talking Notre Dame, a historical type traditional place, and I give up 212. Let me answer you. If I was Kirby, okay, if Georgia gave up 212, okay, let's do that. Kirby would have graded them as incomplete. He would have looked at them and said, I don't accept this. You need to come back next week and try again.
That is correct. Incomplete, because many of you have been cut from the football team already. Right.
It doesn't matter what grade I give you, because I don't care about you any longer.
You are no longer under my care. He gave the defensive line a B+.
Okay.
And in so doing, he said, the Lobos hit on a couple of run plays, which helped their overall rushing numbers. Now listen to this, next line, important. One of those big plays took place during garbage time, so it's to be discounted. Now, listen to me.
Real quick, do some math.
Listen to me. Do you think that rushing play that took place during garbage time was for 149 yards.
I was just going to say, let's say hypothetically he busted a big one for the most yards you can gain for 99. On one season. Yes, 99 yards. You still giving up over 100 yards rushing to New Mexico, Notre Dame?
A cool hundo to New Mexico.
Okay.
Okay. But the defensive line gets a B+. Sure. Now listen, he goes on to talk about how elite this secondary is and how the interception. By the way, New Mexico turned the ball over 4 times in this game. They lost 66-14 off of 4 turnovers. He goes on to talk about how the secondary that he gives an A, if not for a couple of questionable pass interference calls, we'd be talking about an A+ perfect afternoon, he says. That's Ben's take.
A perfect afternoon. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now listen, here's the last sentence that I think is pertinent for us, Clint. This is how Ben ends his article. Overall, it's worth noting that the Irish defense will never be perfect. However, it will continue to improve and adjust as the games go on. Here's the quote. No one expects the Irish defense to be able to carry the day. But if they can be just effective enough, the Irish will have a fighting chance against any opponent. So listen, this is the take on the Notre Dame defense from the pseudo inside, at least. That the Notre Dame defense is a weakness to be mitigated and is in no measure a strength to be rallied around. And apparently an acceptable performance from the defense is a day in which they give up 212 rushing yards and 350 total yards to New Mexico.
Yep. Yep.
New Mexico, the Lobos. Now, Clint, I don't know much about New Mexico's offensive line, nor do I know much about their stable of tailbacks. I'm sure they're all very good students.
Sure.
But what does this information do for you in terms of your level of confidence going into Saturday's game in our ability, our offense's ability to do the very thing we want to do?
Yeah.
In the face of the one thing that apparently the Notre Dame defense cannot help.
So again, they can't help but give up plays. They're going to get better as the season goes on. They can't carry the day, meaning, a.k.a. Let me just translate Ben speak here for a moment. We can't win if we can't score lots of points. That's what Ben just said.
Correct.
Okay, good. And against New Mexico, he cited the excellent performance in a win. I just really quick, you know, you and I are we like these things called statistics. Doing a cursory.
Well, I mean, just only when we're confronted with people looking at you, Trevor, that want to just spout out absolute nonsense takes.
Yeah. Really quick, New Mexico Lobos have averaged 424 yards a game. Daniel, that's good for 61st in college football. Real quick, if you don't know, there's 130 teams that hold statistical analysis for this. So
okay.
they are middling at best against the likes of, you know, Bowling Green and University of Texas at San Antonio. Also, by the way, they're 61st, just a couple of spots ahead of them, the Gator. At 59, just real quick, have to throw that in there.
Okay.
So just 424. They are 61st. I'm sorry, I'm going to scroll up real quick because if I went to the University of Georgia, who you're playing on Saturday. Heard of them? Good. Is 565 yards a game more or less than the average that New Mexico has? Good for 7th in college football. So you're telling me that your take on this team is that they're going to get better and they're not going to carry the team, but that's okay. You know when it's not okay?
When's that?
It's not okay when you face a team who demolishes any defense they come up against. That's when it's not okay. When it's not okay is when your team has a liability, that being your defense, as you've stated mm-hmm. to us, Ben, and you go up against inferior, like New Mexico or University of Texas at San Antonio, you can go ahead and say, you know what, the defense can be off. They can't be off against a team like, oh, wait, Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because I said this early in the preseason, but the defensive tackles on the strength of Notre Dame's defense is this freshman kid they have in the secondary that they believe right. is going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
There's a grassroots campaign. Lou Holtz is currently on, like, giving motivational speeches somewhere. For this
by the
kid
way,
to win the Heisman
by the
trophy.
Way, when I think Lou Holtz, he's just given motivational speeches to like any brick wall that will listen to him as he's wandering about aimlessly in the streets. He's just
it's called senility, Clint. It's called being a senile old man.
Factually correct.
It's not great to laugh at the elderly, but that's just what we're up against here. The strength of the Notre Dame defense is the pass rush. It's the defensive ends.
Uh-huh.
The defensive tackles are the weakness of the Notre Dame defense and the linebackers.
So again, if I don't do sports ball that well, Daniel, but if I was to understand the gut, how your team is built, your body, the core that's supposed to hold up against, I don't know, an average of 6'4" and a half and 315, 320, 330. And you're saying to yourself, no, we're kind of weak in that area.
Well, just imagine your core, like your, you know, your abs, your lower back, like your core of your body. And then imagine that Trey Hill punches you as hard as you can in it.
Yes.
That's sort of what we're dealing with here. Like that's basically, and then Cade Mays comes up from behind and just gives you a knee right to the midsection.
Yes.
And your body falls into multiple pieces onto the ground, and DeAndre Swift just sort of casually steps over it.
Correct. Okay. Well, hey, Ben, I just really, really quick, I just have some professional advice for you.
Ben did not solicit this. Really, I'm just trying to get information out of him. But
I'm just saying, you might want to take a different tone this week as you're writing.
B plus. It ain't gonna be B plus. Okay.
No.
Just in case you're wondering, Notre Dame in week one gave up 258 rushing yards to Louisville.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh,
that's more. That's more than Louisville rushed against Western Kentucky this weekend. They rushed for 211.
The same Louisville that Kirk Herbstreit got on for leaving the stadium early and saying, "Who are you, Louisville fan? Get back in the stadium." That Louisville.
258 on the ground against Louisville. To say that Notre Dame maybe has struggled against the run. I don't know how many of those plays, Ben, came in garbage time. I didn't go back and watch the tape, Ben, to diagnose how many of those plays came in garbage time. But let me just spoil it for you this week. There might be some plays this week that come in garbage time also. Just so we're all on the same page.
You can cut and paste that line if you want, maybe, Ben.
I'm just saying Kenny McIntosh may break off a big one against you this week.
Oh my gosh, Kenny McIntosh.
Right, that's my take on the defense. I don't know if you I don't know what that where that leaves you, but
here's where it leads me. It leads me to, again, just statistical analysis. A lot of what you had said I echo on the defensive side of the ball for Notre Dame. Not only did they lose a ton of talent in the draft last year, they have a lot of guys injured this year already.
Correct.
They have a coach who doesn't care about defense at all.
Irrelevant.
It doesn't matter as long as I get to flash a couple of cool gadget plays and screens here and there.
He cares. In fact, if I could just interject, and I'm going to hurt your feelings, some of you. On this one. He cares so little about defense that he once hired Brian Van Gorder to be the defense. Was that too soon?
Was that too soon, Clint? It's not too soon.
Am I out of line with that one?
Not one bit out of line.
Sorry, Georgia fans. I know. I know, it's okay. I know it hurts, but
No, Daniel, I just look to, again, every single time when you are a Georgia fan and you know what kind of offense we have and where we're going with this, the points per game on defense for them, they're 29th, giving up 15 and a half points a game this year against crud teams. They are giving up 5.2 yards per rush, which, by the way, 5.2 yards per rush is what they're giving up. Daniel, can you name a running back on our team averaging less than 5.2 yards per carry right now? I'll let you name them in any order you want.
Jake Fromm.
Oh, you got me.
Jake Fromm.
You snuck that one in there, you dirty dog.
Yep. no. No, the backs for Georgia, now granted, like, it's not like we've been playing world beaters either, mind you. It's not like we've been out here going up against the likes of Alabama and LSU.
Look, I'm gonna push back that against a little bit. Not because I cannot nor will I defend Murray State and Arkansas State. You'll never find me doing that. But I will say this. Go back and listen to prognosticators talk about Arkansas State again. Go back and listen to them talk about the program and talk about them saying, cautioning, Georgia, they might sneak up on you. Hey, Georgia, watch out.
Oh, I heard it.
Okay, you heard it too. Okay, so this is a real thing that we went out and handled business against inferior opponent, absolutely.
Right.
But we did so in an embarrassingly dominant way in all phases. Notre Dame, when there's a chink in the armor, when you're exposed against things like that, and they are exposed in the rushing defensive category, some may say, some have even, done awards who write about this, that you should look out for Georgia's offensive line to be best in the nation.
I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you heard on Saturday night. By the way, we're not going to get off track here. But you want to talk about dumb things? Oh, I heard someone say on TV, Clint. I didn't even write this down coming to the podcast. You just reminded me of it. Todd McShay.
Yeah.
Did he recently move to Colorado?
I don't know.
Or
what
something
he did.
Like, is there something happening in Todd McShay's life where he doesn't have full control of all of his faculties anymore?
I will say this: Todd McShay had clearly pissed somebody else off, because he was on a trajectory that was like ascending with the draft stock and everything. He must have done something horribly wrong when we come to find out that he just has awful takes, because he's been relegated to clown duty on a lot of these games now, and his clown duty was to call. Who was it that he called might have the best offensive line in the entire nation?
Kentucky in the SEC. Best offensive line in the SEC.
Oh, yep.
Kentucky. Clint. Clint. Todd.
Todd, be better.
Be better, Todd. Don't be worse. Be better,
be
Todd.
Better.
All right, let's move on to Notre Dame's offense against our defense. Clint, how do you like our defense? I'll just ask you that. Do you fancy our defense at all this year?
Guys, I'm going to say this right now. This is the best defense I've ever seen in college football. This is the best defense I've ever seen in college football.
He's out there.
I'm out there.
He's out here. What are you gonna do about it?
Say I'm wrong. Go ahead. This is the best defense, and here's what I mean by best defense from top to bottom. Depth, 22, 33 deep. I don't care. Grab a dude in a jersey next to Kirby and throw him on the field, because he's going to do just fine.
He's fine.
How's that? How's the sack total numbers this year, Daniel?
Oh my. I haven't done the research. I would be shocked if we haven't neared last year's total. In terms of sacks.
Yes. As you're looking that, because we might be really close. I'm going to say names, and then you think back to their flashes of coming off the edge, okay? What's Jermaine Johnson doing over there coming off the edge, Daniel? Is he getting quick to the quarterback?
Listen, Jermaine Johnson's like fifth string, Clint.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
we're starting from the bottom.
I'm grabbing like dude off the sideline that Kirby just looks around because somebody did a dumb penalty and he just wants to talk to him. He goes, "Who do I have over here? I don't know. You go. D end and just get to the quarterback." Okay, so he's grabbing Jermaine Johnson, who's not starting. Okay, hey, you want to talk about man-child who birthed previous generations before he was born? Nolan Smith, my word. You flex as much as you want, young man. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He flexed, and you know who actually stood back and said, "Oh, Mr. Swift." Mr. Swift said, "I'm good.
Dad.
I don't want none of that. I'm good." Nolan Smith getting in a hurry in the backfield. Like you said, the aforementioned Quay Walker. Quay, you good with me, brother. You can come play with me. On defense anytime you want. Hey, let me give you another name. Tyler Clark. You resurrected something?
Back from the dead.
Back from the dead, Tyler Clark. You good? You okay?
You good.
You want to talk about... You get Adam Anderson some run down there. You get Beal some run down there. You get anybody some run. N'Kobe Dean coming off the edge on blitz packages. Channing, I know you saw this. You saw your boy Tindall over on the edge over there. I did too. And he was coming with bad intentions. This defense, look, this is the best I have seen. I am all enamored with this defense.
Look, we're sitting on 12 sacks for the year. We had 21.
Okay.
All of last year.
Okay.
All of last year. That includes the SEC championship game and the bowl game. 14 games. We're sitting on 12 through three.
Three. So that's, I don't know if you can keep track at home, do some quick math. That's 4 sacks a game that we are getting out there.
I'm not great at mathing, but
and that's not counting.
Sometimes it's easier.
Sometimes it's easier when there are good round numbers. We're not even counting tackle for losses. We're not talking about the amount of times that running backs have hit the great wall of Jordan Davis and not been able to move any further. We're not talking about this. Guys, this defense is lights out. Our backers, I'm fine with the rotation. I've seen many of you kind of complain that you don't know who's in. Look, I'm fine with this. I'm great absolutely. With it. I love it as a great matter of with fact. It. I have no problem.
Great with it. I have no problems whatsoever.
So this defense,
Tyson Campbell, playing out of his mind.
Hey, look, really quick. You all said Stokes is all world, and he's been playing very well. Okay,
he's fine. He's been fine.
But you know who's been exceptional? Tyson Campbell.
Tyson Campbell's been pretty good, guys.
We are giving up 7.7 points per game. 7.7. Now, again, two teams that are inferior, but you're supposed to hold them down, and we shut out a team 55-0. A shutout is hard to come by.
It's hard to do.
It's hard to do in football.
We're literally playing people that did not make the trip to Vanderbilt because the NCAA won't allow us to carry that many people. We're playing those people at the end of the game.
We're playing a guy I'm fairly certain is suspended and shouldn't be playing. I'm fairly certain he is not eligible to play, and we're just over there, and we're like asking for waivers mid-game to do so.
Correct.
Okay. 7.7 points per game, 243 yards a game given up, 243 yards a game, Daniel.
Is that rushing yards per game?
Nope, sorry. Let me do some tabulations. No, that's total. That's passing. Passing and rushing.
Because that sounds an awful lot like the number of rushing yards that Notre Dame gets
This isn't Notre Dame's rushing. Yeah, correct.
No, okay.
Half this really quick. Let's play a game, fun game. 121 yards, 21 and a half yards a game, 121 rushing yards a game given up. If that is true, that's good. 121 passing yards a game. Okay, fine. We're 243 yards a game given up. This defense is lights out. We haven't had bonehead stupid plays. We have had guys. By the way, coaching clinic on tackling this year.
Mm-hmm.
Off season workout called tackling. Money well invested because
money very well invested.
Because nobody's falling forward on these guys.
Clint, I just want to give you a little something here. Mm. This is a gift from me to you.
Oh, thank you, Daniel.
I didn't wrap it.
Well,
I don't need you to.
It, especially if it's whiskey, you shouldn't wrap that.
It's not whiskey, but I hope it will warm your insides the same way that a fine whiskey will. 182, Clint. I don't know if you remember the numbers that I gave you for Notre Dame rush defensive statistics. They gave up 210 yards.
212
to New Mexico, and then they gave up 253 to Louisville. Okay, let me hit you with a number here. 182 rushing yards allowed total in three games. In three games, Clint. In three.
Oh.
In three games.
Oh. Oh, see, those are numbers that I really, really like. That moved the inside, Daniel. I actually think my heart grew like the Grinch's when you said that.
That's not very many.
Nope.
It's just that's what we're saying here. It's not very many. offensively, it seems as though your boy Cole Kmet. That's not a real name. I don't know. It's not a real
name. That's an industrial solvent.
K&M, correct. That is correct. That is what you use to affix shingles to your roof, lest they come off in a storm.
Flex Seal actually trademarked that chemical in Kmet. Their product.
Kmet. Cole Kmet, the tight end, one of their better offensive players, has been injured. Brian Kelly seemed optimistic that he might be back for the Georgia game. So there's that to pay attention to. You and I both do not enjoy going up against a good tight end. A good tight end is very difficult to defend.
Very difficult.
That would be tough. That would be a tough break. It would be a great swing of fortune for Notre Dame, should that be the case. Jafar Armstrong, as I think you've already alluded to, their best running back is definitely still out for this game. He got injured in the first game against Louisville and has not played very much of the season. He will not play in this game either. Now, Clint, this is where I want to get a little bit into something in terms of the Notre Dame offense, because let me just ask you a question. If our best running back, your friend and mine, DeAndre Swift, had gone down with an injury, it would be tough.
Moment of silence would be had. We would be very mad. We wouldn't text each would other for very... several hours. We'd go radio silent.
Yep. Just an understood between all Georgia fans. Let's not talk about this for a bit. But then let me ask you, Clint, what would happen next?
I would go into the bathroom. I'd splash some cold water on my face. I would look myself in the mirror, and I would remind myself, don't worry, we have four others that can do things similar.
Okay.
Don't worry.
So now, Clint, let's go back to the Notre Dame offense.
Let's. Shall we?
Jarvar Armstrong, tough blow. Okay, he's not out for the season, but he has been out for the season so far. Will be out for this game as well. Do you know, Clint, the name of the fellow who leads Notre Dame in rushing attempts and is tied for the lead in rushing yards? Do you know the name of the young man?
I think he's a strapping, you used the term earlier, a strapping young gentleman. I think he's a strapping young gentleman whose responsibility it is to mainly pass the ball.
Well, you might think that, but he plays quarterback for Brian Kelly.
Oh.
It's Ian Book, Clint. Ian Book leads this team in rushing attempts. Now,
yep.
Now, the game against Louisville, they pulled away in the second half of that game, but it was back and forth there at the beginning.
Absolutely was.
And so potentially you're saying to yourself here, well, you know, he probably got a lot of those attempts against Louisville. Do you know who led the team in attempts against New Mexico, Clint?
Aforementioned Ian Book.
It's Ian Book again.
Okay.
Okay. So Ian Book runs the ball more than any other person on this team.
Follow-up question.
Yes. Go ahead. I'll allow it.
Is quite possibly Notre Dame. Is Notre Dame like Florida, where their second string quarterback is better than their first string quarterback? Is that the case at Notre Dame?
Well, funny you should ask. No.
No, it's not. So
no, it's not.
If I have the defense that has 22 bullets ready to fire at any given moment, and they're coming with bad intentions, and said quarterback, who's not Joe Burrow, by the way, because I don't think Joe Burrow can ever be injured. I don't think it's physically possible for him to incur an injury. Ian Book is no Joe Burrow.
That's correct.
And I got Quay
Walker. As far as I know.
And I got Richard LeCount popping heads off, and I got Mark.
Literally
popping heads off. And I literally have Mark Webb making form tackles, driving guys into the ground. Because that's actually true.
That's actually true.
That's true. And the guy who's your only source of offense is now mandated to run the ball too. How am I feeling if I'm Ian Book looking at defensive film and coach calling in plays where I'm doing RPOs?
Can I say not great? I think it would be not great.
Yes, I think that's a fair, nuanced approach to that.
I don't know if you're going to make a living running.
I think they call that tough sledding.
It seems like it's going to be tough sledding. Now, listen, Georgia's going to have to stay disciplined, obviously.
Yes.
They're going to have to, linebackers are going to have their heads on the swivel. They're going to have to be playing in space and keeping an eye on the quarterback. Going to have to be ready to break off their assignment. Maybe have a spy or two. Going to have defensive linemen stay in their lanes, not create huge gaps for rushing. It is a pain.
It is.
To play against a quarterback who is willing to run. But just to reiterate, they're starting tailback.
Uh-huh.
In two games, has 127 yards rushing.
Is okay. McIntosh had that in two carries?
Yeah. He has 127 yards rushing. Now, the second leading rusher on their team that's not named Ian Book, who also has 127 yards rushing, Ian Book does, is a young fellow named Kyren Williams. And he has, Clint, 4 carries for 26 yards.
Stop.
That's their second leading running back rusher. Okay.
It's bad.
Okay. Now, the strength of this team, Clint, are the wide receivers, I would say, on offense.
100%.
You got this kid, Claypool.
He's good.
Who appears to be 9 feet, 7 inches tall, and weigh 285 pounds. And then you have this guy, Javon McKinley, who he just destroyed New Mexico. He didn't really do anything against Louisville, but he did come in and destroy New Mexico. And then if they get this kid, Cole Kmet, back, they have some weapons on the outside. So I ask you, these corners are going to get their first real test.
They're going to be tested.
The Vanderbilt quarterback, let's just call it out for what it is. Okay, we played a 1AA team. We played a team in Arkansas State that, God bless their hearts, was more concerned about how many people were in pink in the stands than they were about playing football.
Which,
that
by the
particular
way, again,
day.
Kudos to Athens and UGA Nation. Well done.
Kudos to you. That was not an offensive test. They could not run the ball. And so we were just pinning our ears back and coming full force. And the Vanderbilt quarterback, Clint, it's been a while, so maybe you've forgotten. we could ask the elderly gentleman in front of, who I will reiterate, we did not get in a fist fight with.
Did not.
You're welcome for that. The Vanderbilt quarterback could not throw the ball forward more than 5 yards. Okay, that is a deficit in the passing game. That is a tough. That's tough to overcome.
It's not ideal.
So the corners, is it safe to say, are going to get their first test of the season this week?
This is a large step up in competition. Absolutely.
How do you assess their ability to rise to the occasion? That's my question to you.
Yeah, here's how I'm going to assess it, and here's I expect back shoulder fades and 20-yard go routes to be a normative experience against us on Saturday. That is, it's going to be a quick drop, quick set, throw it up there, get some coverage, throw some routes in there where you bring a safety across the middle and bring them back, and then try to hit that fade on the outside. And they're going to have to do exactly what they've done and stay on top and be fine. Now, if I do a quick assessment of Stokes, I'm good with him being disciplined over the top. I'm fine with that. I go to Stevenson. I go to Campbell. I go to these guys. I feel fine of their ability to do that. Are a couple going to hit? Of course they're going to hit. Absolutely, of course they're going to hit. But Daniel, I don't have a fear about it. I'm not scared. I think these guys are going to be fine. I think they go up against great wide receivers, and I said great wide receivers because, again...
But, Clint, these wide receivers are unproven. They've never done anything in college football. Do you know how many catches they had coming into the season, Clint?
Talk about another uneducated take that we have a depleted, Clint, thin wide receiver stable.
But, Clint, what about Jeremiah Holloman, Clint?
Mm-hmm.
But, Clint...
Uh-huh. By the way, real quick... We are 4 weeks into the season, and that is the first time you and I have mentioned J.J. Holloman's name. You know why?
Because his name's not relevant to this podcast?
Because it's not relevant, because it's not missed, because he's not here. And did anybody go, oh man, we really miss him? Oh man.
Let me tell you what he could do if he wanted to get mentioned more on the podcast. He could write us a 1-star review. And then
him and Trevor, the same amount of ability for the offense.
We do not condone writing 1-star reviews, by the way.
Please don't gladly accept. If you write a 5-star, we will talk about you on this podcast. You don't have to get attention by doing the 1-star, okay?
That's right. Daniel, nobody wants more Trevors.
No, we don't. Daniel, I feel great.
I feel good about it. I think they're going to hit on some plays. I'll be interested to see. Exactly. Like you said, what kind of stuff they're trying to run. I imagine a lot of quick out of the hand. Not a lot of multi-level routes being run, but like a lot of back shoulders, a lot of go routes.
If you know anything about Kelly,
some crossers over the middle.
I was just going to say, that's his offense. If you watch him from any time, if you watch Notre Dame, it's those stupid, there's only four guys go out in formation, but there's only one guy getting the ball because three of them are setting picks in their stupid crossing routes.
It's going to be some jet sweep, shovel pass action, like happening at least once or twice.
Oh, yeah.
You know what makes me feel okay about the secondary? A name you didn't mention when talking about the secondary, which is surprising.
You know what makes me feel okay?
What makes me feel okay about the secondary is Tyler Clark. That's who makes me feel good about the secondary, because that man doesn't need a blitz called. Kirby said every play is a blitz for you, Tyler. Just you go... See man in front of you, destroy man in front of you, get football.
I haven't exactly clarified this yet, but I'm going to go back and watch the games. I think Tyler Clark gets down in a four-point stance without looking over at the sideline while everybody else on the defense is looking over there for the play. And Tyler says, I'm good. I know my assignment. And just stares down the guard tackle hole on the other side.
I always said if I played big-time college football, I recorded a sack, my sack celebration would be tackling the quarterback, standing up, taking one step back from where the quarterback was tackled, and immediately getting in a three-point stance to line up for my next. Like, and making the offensive line, like, walk around me. Yeah. And, like you can't call a penalty on me. Like, this is where I'm supposed to line up.
Line
for the
of scrimmage.
Next play. The
right
line of scrimmage
here.
Is right here.
I have set that's, the line of scrimmage.
That's basically what Tyler Clark does.
Oh, my gosh. It's so glorious.
Play. It's fantastic. Speaking of the secondary, Clint. This was a big takeaway for me on Saturday, and we didn't even talk about it at all. But I'll just ask you, is Tyrik Stevenson coming for somebody's job? Like, is he out here coming for somebody's job, look, just not caring about their family or their kids,
look,
putting food on the table?
I tried to float this a couple weeks ago when I was talking about Campbell and Stevenson and Stokes. You got my attention. Yeah, he's got my attention, Daniel.
That kid can make some plays. That kid made some plays in that game on Saturday that were he flashed.
Listen to what we're saying. Okay, just the names we are floating out there. It is still a rule in football. You can only have 11 guys on the field.
It's 11 on 11.
I have listed 20 names. Daniel.
There's only one ball that only 11 guys play. But the thing about our 11 guys is they're always fresh.
Always.
Because they just roll in like a hockey line.
Correct. The hockey line is still there.
And they put you in the penalty box quickly. Like when they roll in. It's the thing to watch. Clint, I'm not saying we're here to pick a lock today.
No.
But did you see the early line?
13 points. Is that what it's still floating at?
13.5
okay.
13.5 points. That's a lot of daggum points, Clint.
Look.
I said anything in single digits.
Oh.
Instabet.
Absolutely.
It's Instabet. Anything in single digits. 13.5, Clint. Mm. That's a lot of daggum points.
That's a lot of points.
How you feel? What's your early take on that line?
When I saw
in case lest it go north.
Yeah.
For the people.
Yeah. Here, look. It'd be if you told me you bet 13.5, you said, hey, I put coin down on Sunday night, 13.5. If you said that, I'm not gonna fault you. It's not 14, 13 in the hook. Okay, I'm not gonna fault you. I'm not doing it. But I couldn't fault you. When I saw 13.5, I thought to myself, ah, dang it. I was really mad that it was 13 because I want to bet this game. I want to bet this game. Not at 13.5, I'm not.
I mean, you understand what Las Vegas is saying here. This is the number 7 team in the country. Are we the number 1 team in the country, Clint? I don't know. I haven't been paying attention.
I don't care.
I know it's a home game.
Sure. That's worth 3.
We're talking about...
That's worth 3 points.
Yeah. So now, they said we're 13.5 points better than this team? That's a lot of points, Clint.
That's a lot of points. Look, I think we are better in most phases of the game against Notre Dame, but that's unsettling to me.
All right, Clint, I want to get out of here. We're nearing the hour mark of the podcast. But look, it's Notre Dame week.
It's Notre
Get
Dame.
Get off my lawn.
Thank you.
Get off my lawn. We might record another episode.
Daniel and I just get the itch tomorrow morning. We're like, I didn't get it all out. I need to come back
for
more.
We may just have some more. Let me ask you this question. This is another conversation I have with my wife on Saturday that she actually told me I should record. She said you should record this conversation.
Does she want to be executive producer? We're searching for one of those again.
Yeah, I offered her the intern executive producer. She said, if you get on there and talk about my candle some more, then like maybe I will.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I haven't had to do any soul searching, contemplative. I haven't had to stare into the flame of a candle all that recently. But there's a chance I might soon. My wife, we're sitting there watching the Clemson-Syracuse game. Flipping back and forth between Kentucky, Florida, and Clemson, Syracuse. And my wife asked me, and I quote, which team are you more nervous about today, Clemson or Alabama? Before I tell you what I said, Clint, I pose the question to you in front of God and all of our listeners.
Yeah.
Which team today, if you had to choose, are you more nervous about? Clemson or Alabama?
Neither.
That's exactly what I said. That is exactly what I said.
Neither team.
No team. In fact, let's just blanket statement. None teams. No teams.
I'll give the floor to anybody to list a team. I'll let you tell me all you want to try to convince me. You, go for it. And I will stare you coldly back in the eye and I will say, I don't care.
I just happen to think that Georgia's the best team in the country.
Yep.
That is what I see, and that is what I currently believe. Nothing I've seen from any other team leads me to believe anything differently. Now, Clint, is my stomach tied in knots? Am I losing sleep about how we're not ranked number one right now? Like, am I...
Quick assessment, raise of hands if you have thought more than 5 seconds about our ranking not being number one. I'll count.
If your hand is in the air, go away.
Go away.
Put it down and go away, Trevor.
Trevor is the guy that cares about us not being ranked one right now. And you don't want to be Trevor.
I think if we've learned anything from this podcast, if you're a new listener to the show, just know... You don't have to even go back and read or know what the context is. Just know that Trevor's not the guy that you want to be. You want to be a Tiffany
on this Tiffany. Podcast.
You know what I'm saying?
By the way.
We all aspire to a Tiffany level.
Tiffany, since you're listening, twice a day, every day.
Video. It's Notre Dame week.
It's Notre Dame week, Tiffany.
Twice a day. Just up your game.
Every day, video me.
That's what we're trying to be. Okay. I'm just not afraid of any of the teams, Clint. I'll take this team. That's fine. You can have your team and I'll take my team.
All day, twice on Sunday.
And maybe we'll play each other later. If you beat LSU, then maybe we'll play you.
Maybe we'll talk then.
Then we'll see you next year when we play you during the regular season. So not a big deal to us. When it is.
I don't care.
All right, Clint. Well, we will assuredly be back for the people on Thursday morning. We will have locks. Believe it or not, I'm still coming around to the realization there are other games on Saturday. I don't know how I'm going to muster up the energy to care about any of them, but we will endeavor to make you more money. But we will also on Thursday. The locks may be abbreviated. We might be going rapid fire. We might be going speed round through the locks. I would guess that the vast majority of the podcast on Thursday will be spent continuing to dive into all of our thoughts and feelings.
Because I don't know if you know, Kirby talks to us before
twice,
but between now and Saturday, he speaks to us a couple times.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. If you have thoughts and feelings about the Notre Dame game, we would love to hear them. You can always reach out to us at Dogs Podcast on Twitter or talkingdogspod@gmail.com. We would love to hear your takes. We would love to hear anything you would love for us to talk about related to the Notre Dame game or anything else. If you have specific things that you want us to cover, we'd be more than happy to cover those. Reach out to us. And let us know. As always, you can leave us a rating or a review. That would help us out a tremendous amount. You could share this podcast with a friend. That would help us out a tremendous amount.
The cornucopia of amount of things that you can do to support UGA right there. That just a treasure trove of things you could do.
It's a lot. We know you're not going to be working this week.
Nope.
Okay? There are other weeks for work. There are two bye weeks this year. Okay?
Yep.
So much time to work. This is not one of those weeks, so just be sharing the podcast with your friends instead of working. We will be back on Thursday to talk more about Notre Dame. Until then, talk to you guys later.
See ya.